Hey, America.
Start now.
Hey, everyone. I've been told by Eric that he has a fantastic intro gag this week.
Nope. And welcome to another non-existent episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, a Dadaist nightmare. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
We do exist, though. I think, therefore, we exist.
I think.
That's how that goes, I believe. Pretty sure that's how it goes, anyway.
I can't even tell anymore.
No?
Who are you again?
I'm Eric. I'm the co-host of the popular podcast, 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. Oh, no. We're in a loop. Quick, Sam, plug the socials before we just do this forever.
Oh, God. Yeah, you could find us and fall into our crazy random death spiral with us on our social media accounts. You could hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You could email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Or you can find some of our fabulous merch over at our Redbubble page. So just scope us out there. Just look for 12 Points from America and you can find all sorts of goodies, you know, face masks and bags and shirts and other fantabulous swag.
Yeah, you should get a shirt. Somebody ordered a shirt. We don't know who. Somebody ordered a bunch of stuff. Whoever you are, I assume you're listening. I don't know why you wouldn't be if you bought all that stuff. Thank you so much. For real. That was really cool of you. They got 12 Points from America masks. You can get a bunch of masks so people know that you listen to this show and are also not a jerk who doesn't wear a mask.
By the way, Fantabulous Swag is my favorite Star Wars extended universe character.
Love it.
Well, we're doing something special this week because Jesk is right around the corner. We have a good number of the songs. But first off, we have a couple of topics, a couple of fresh news, now that the news is getting fresher.
Yeah, Europe has sent news.
Well, first off, we are doing a thing as specially requested by the EBU. Enough of you dinguses out there actually listened to us that the EBU took notice. I don't know if that's because some of you like called the authorities on us or if we're actually amassing clout. I can't possibly think it could be the second. But the EBU has designated us as one of the juries for Eurovision again.
Yeah, one of the final Eurovision Again events, which if you haven't been watching, I highly recommend. It's been a ton of fun. Started out as a weekly thing, and now it's more of a monthly mass get-together and watching of a Eurovision past, synchronized. And it's like watching it with a whole bunch of friends, especially if you're tweeting along with it and having all of your fresh hot takes go out into the internet at the same time. It's really quite fun.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. But for the last one of these that they're doing before national final season kicks in, Rob Holly, who's the brainchild who's created this, has decided to focus on the semifinalists. And he, along with EBU, have reached out to a number of websites to help them select the songs that will sort of represent the best of the rest. And I don't know how they caught wind of us.
Best of the rest.
Yep. But
I feel like my biggest takeaway from being picked for this is that they did not watch Eurostream.
They must have.
Because if they had, oh boy.
They would have known.
Wait, putting these idiots in charge of this? I don't know. It's your funeral, I guess. No, in all seriousness, I'm really quite honored to be a part of this.
I've never actually watched the voting sequence of Eurovision Again. Do they actually ever cut to like the juries and then we give our 12 points? Because I would love to say, flyover country, USA calling.
No, I don't think that's quite how it works. We're going to be more in the selection process rather than the final score. But it's still super, super cool to have been asked. Major, major shout out to Rob over at Eurovision Again, as well as to our friend Dave Goodman. Literally, like, what's that thing? Nominative determinism, where your name kind of decides like who you kind of become. Literally, Dave Goodman at the EBU, who works in the communications department.
He's a man, strangely enough.
Yes.
Imagine that.
And a pretty decent one, yeah. But he reached out to us as well to help out with this. So thank
you,
Dave.
It's good to not hear from our other friend, Frank Acceptableman, who is fine, I guess. I don't
know. Post-mild neighbor, Louis Douchebag.
For the last time. His name was Louis, and he worked for Deutsche Bank.
Oh. same difference, really.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. We actually have a little bit of news for a future competitor, because Hoover Phonic was confirmed to return for Belgium, correct?
Yes. Correct.
And Hoover Phonic has friendship over with...
with Luca. Who's,
with Luca. So who was the young singer that they had with them for a while? Luca. Yeah.
Luca.
Friendship ended with Luca, and then what's her name is my new best friend.
Who is also her old best friend, Heike.
Yes, exactly, our old best friend.
Yep. So they have. It looks like they've reverted to a previous lead singer. Yeah. Now, Derek, I know that out of the four of us, you have been a Hoover Phonic fan for quite a while, like longer than we've known each other. I know. You actually wrote a really nice article for ESC Insight about your fandom and how cool it was to see them potentially representing Belgium at Eurovision. What's your take on this?
This is definitely a change. It's going to be a much more mature sound. They worked together for, how long was it? It was over a decade previously. They released an old track that they re-recorded, like, yesterday, Mad About You. It was a great song.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
it is a great
show.
Song. Yes, it was on Umbrella Academy, but also it's fantastic. It's fantastic anyway. I'm going to have to check that out.
So
thanks, Derek,
for
the show.
But I think this will be hopefully a more interesting song than the last one. I like the last one, but I think this one could be very promising. And I think their original fan base might appreciate it. So
it is a little bit bittersweet to see Luca kind of parting ways. I thought she's, you know, a very, very talented young woman who's got a great future ahead of her. But, you know, sometimes you just got to do your own thing. So more power to her for knowing that now.
What if this is a coincidence?
Yeah. I mean, we don't really know what the circumstances of her departure is.
Yeah.
I guess would be grammatically correct, whatever. We don't know what the circumstances are, but either way, we wish her all the best in her future career.
Did they have like the biggest age gap between two artists of the same group in contest history?
Because
she was like 20 and one of the guys in Hoover Phonic is like 60, right?
I mean, my brain goes to the Swiss act from 2013, to Casa, where they had the double bass player who was, what, 93?
Oh,
and
wow.
There were a couple people in there who were probably in their early 20s. So I think that probably has them beat. But
well, Sebalder is an ageless trickster god. So
that's true. That is absolutely
what's he,
true.
You know,
immeasurable.
1300 years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the song for the old man in the suit and he just kind of came out and started yelling?
Oh, 75 Cent.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say it's that clown song from 1970 coming back to us again.
Turns out the clown was in his 90s.
Real clown was the friends we made along the way.
Sure was. We have some more Melfest rumors. Tell me more.
Yeah, I mean, rumors keep on swirling, particularly from our friends over at Aftonbladet, one of the big newspapers over in Stockholm. We're hearing rumors that we might see a return next year from the Mamas, which would be great, potentially.
The return of the Mamas.
The return of the Mamas. And where Mamas come, there also come the Daughter. So Daughter also might be returning as well. We're hearing rumors about her returning after her second place finish in this year's contest.
She was Laser Boobs, right?
That was Laser Boobs, yep.
Nice.
We are also hearing rumors about a possible return from Arvin Garna, who sang the song I Do. I can't remember if that was last year or the year before. Everything is blending together, but it was a great little song. And there are also previous Eurovision representatives for Sweden with the song Eloise back in the 90s. And we're also hearing rumors that Erik Saade may also return to Melodifestivalen. Yeah, so 2011, popular, possibly might come back. So we will see what happens. And we're hearing all these names, all these rumors, but no matter how big of the lineup it may be, there's only going to be one winner. So we'll see how these songs go. We won't know for a while yet.
What's the latest on Jacob Karlberg?
I wish I knew.
So do I. I'll look into that. We'll report on it on our next show.
Jacob, give us a call. Have your people call our people.
Yeah, friend of the show, Jacob Karlberg.
What if Jacob Karlberg was the one who bought all of our Redbubble stuff?
Ooh.
And had it sent to, what, Texas? Sure. Why not? Let's see. What else we got?
We have some sad news actually coming out of the Eurovision sphere. We always hate to bring this up, but we do want to take a moment to honor a couple of folks from the Eurovision family who've left us since our last recording. Start off honoring Reinhardt, who performed for Belgium back in 1988. We just got word that he had passed from COVID complications at the age of 65. I had kind of been rediscovering his song when it was played at the Eurovision Again event a couple months ago. But his song in 1988 was really quite beautiful, sort of an underrated classic. So We honor Reinhardt and wish him Godspeed. We also want to take a moment to honor Timur Selçuk, who was the composer and songwriter for the Turkish song back in 1989, Bana Bana, which is another classic, really incredible song. And he passed away in Turkey at the age of 74. And finally, honoring Ossi Rune, who was an absolute legend among the composer circuit at the Eurovision Song Contest. He was a stalwart for Finland. He started out composing and conducting the song from 1966, a personal favorite of mine, a song called Playboy, and continued to conduct for Finnish entries until the late 90s. He then was a commentator and just an overall bon vivant and really, really loved the contest. And the contest kind of loved him back. So Ossi Rune passed away in Finland at the age of 93. Heck of a run. Derek, can we just play a little bit of his, one of his masterworks and a personal favorite of mine from the swinging 60s? Can we just play a little bit of Playboy?
Yeah.
All it Playboy.
There was one other person we wanted to mention, not quite as directly Eurovision related, but near and dear to the hearts of the folks on this show. Alex Trebek, the Canadian Serhat, or American Serhat, I guess, passed away after a battle with cancer this past weekend. And big fans of Jeopardy on the show here. Sam and Danny, you have both been on Jeopardy, correct?
Yep.
What do you remember about the guy being in the presence of Mr. Trebek?
For me, it was surreal. It was one of the most out-of-body experiences of my life being on that show. I was only about 21 when I was on it, and I didn't expect to be on. So to be in that space with the cameras and the lights, and it was, for a little geeky girl like me, that's like Miss America. That's like somebody handing you an Oscar. And then when Alex Trebek walked onto the stage, you felt the gravitas and the love and the care that he had for the job. And he was, I just keep coming back to this word, gravitas. Like, you knew that you were in the presence of somebody who had a command of the stage and the respect of everybody who worked on the crew. The man was a legend. He really, really was. It was a hard blow to hear that he had passed. We knew it was kind of coming because we all knew that he'd been sick, but it's still a hard loss to bear. Danny, what about you? What was your experience like?
Mine was different because I was on the college tournament. So, and I was lucky enough to film first. So what happened was I filmed my episode and then I got to sit in the audience and watch 9 more episodes be filmed in front of my eyes. So perhaps the magic ebbed away slightly, but Alex Trebek is just weird. I can't say he's, you know, a ring figure of American television gravitas. I just think he behaves like... What's the way to describe it? Because it's not like weird, but he's like your uncle. Like, he's very friendly, but also like kooky. He was great. He was great.
He really, really was. And it's so interesting to see how my trivia world / game show world experience and my Eurovision experience kind of overlap. You know, I think of a lot of my friends who have appeared on... Or who I've met behind the scenes at Eurovision at the press center, and how many of them have appeared on game shows, whether it's, you know, Mastermind or Pointless, or generally British game shows. But when somebody said, oh, by the way, Sam was on Jeopardy, even among everybody else, jaws kind of dropped a little bit. It's like, you were on Jeopardy. And it's like Jeopardy holds such a special place in the game show circuit, not just in the United States, but globally, that it's a very cool little check mark on my life to-do list. And it really binds me to a lot of my Eurovision friends. So everybody's got their own quiz show story behind the scenes, it feels like. There's like a very cool overlap between the trivia geekery that, you know, Danny and I share, and Eric, I know that you do as well, and Derek as well, and the sort of hunt and love for facts and figures and numbers and trivia that we find at a Eurovision event.
It lends itself well to really, this fandom.
It really,
for sure.
Really does. It really, really does. Eric, you muted yourself.
Yeah, I know. To bring it back around a bit, to make this kind of about Eurovision, I went and auditioned a little over a year ago for Jeopardy. They haven't called me yet. I mean, I guess they probably won't be calling anyone for a while now, but I auditioned to be on the show. I got into the contestant pool and all that sort of thing. And this was not super long after we'd learned about. And Sam, you had been out in Lisbon and you ran into Serhat.
Well, that would have been Tel Aviv. Yeah, Tel Aviv, actually.
Or yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah. Tel Aviv. Silly me. And Serhat is, or was at least, a Jeopardy host in Turkey. And you had arranged for a message to go from him to Alex, just saying, get well soon, best wishes, and so on. And we found out later, and you had spoken with some of the Jeopardy folks, because you accompanied me to the audition, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was good to have someone to hang out with, because we went down to Chicago, we saw Hamilton, it was fun. Anyway, it was the
weekend.
it was. But it got to confirm that Alex had gotten the message and liked it, and so on. So that was really nice. I thought that was a cool thing to have done.
It was probably one of the highlights of my Tel Aviv trip, was sending that message out to from me and Serhat over to Serhat's American Canadian compatriot. And it's the magic of television, the magic of media, the fact that we were able to connect like that. You know, a girl from Jersey and a dude from Istanbul singing for San Marino, meeting up in Tel Aviv and sending a get well soon message to a guy we both admired in California. And
yeah. It's very, very cool.
It kind of brings the world together, you know?
Yeah. My interview in the audition, by the way, ended up being basically entirely about Eurovision. and about you, Sam.
Oh,
because
God.
Because Maggie, the Jeopardy casting gal, who has since retired, which is super sad because she was amazing.
Maggie Speak, friend of the show. We love
you. Yeah. She was like, so you're Sam's friend. And I was like, yep, she's great. Maggie was like, yep. And then I didn't get on the show.
Oh, no. This is my fault.
No. But yeah, we talked about Eurovision and about Serhat and about how basically that there was an international Jeopardy host on Eurovision, which was kind of cool. So anyway, big rest in peace to our friend, Mr. Trebek, and to the others that Sam had mentioned earlier as well. On a more positive note, I had a funny thing happen to me the other day that reminded me of, well, how I like to, our newest tradition for me to ask you weird, random, non sequitur questions. And again, if you want us to answer some of these, please do. Please send us an email or a tweet or whatever. Let us know what you want us to answer. Here's the thing that happened. A little while ago, a couple weeks ago, I started another Twitter account. I have way too many random goofy Twitter accounts.
Oh, no.
Oh,
but this one is dedicated to old, like 1990 sports cards for which the photos are ridiculous and make no sense.
Oh, God.
And it, let me tell you, there is, the well is not going to run dry on this concept. I'm very happy with it. And I tweeted out a picture of a Dikembe Mutombo, who was a basketball player, and he played in Denver in the mid-90s. And the card did not show him playing basketball. It showed him sitting outside in the mountains holding snowballs.
That's so Dikembe.
Yeah. And I put that out there, and someone who follows me on Twitter was like, you know who would love this is John Moe. If you don't know, John Moe is, he ran the program Wits on public radio. He ran the podcast, The Hilarious World of Depression, which is fantastic, and has done a bunch of other things. He just released a book and is just a very, very funny and interesting guy. So this person I follow tagged John Moe and was like, this is extremely you at John Moe. Mm-hmm. And within seconds, John had liked the tweet, followed, retweeted all of this, and was like, yes, I am all about this.
Nice.
And I thought, wow, John Moe thinks a thing I do is funny. So my question is, Eurovision or otherwise, actually, if it is Eurovision related, that's great. What is the most mundane encounter you've had with someone who is otherwise extremely famous or famous to some degree?
When you're in the Eurovision bubble, it's a little bit weird just because you always run into people who you admire or you think are cool, and they're just sitting there having a coffee, or, you know, they're having their makeup done, or they're just, you know, reading a book. That kind of happens a lot when you're in the press center. Ran into Mandy Patinkin leaving a Knicks game once. I was leaving Madison Square Garden, and this guy walks in, like, hey, that's Mandy Patinkin. I grew up in a town in northern New Jersey that was used as a filming location for the TV show Ed. If you remember the show on NBC back in the early 2000s, ZZZs, about the bowling alley lawyer. Stucky Bowl, yes. Well, my hometown of Hillsdale, New Jersey was used as one of the filming locations as a fill-in for Stuckeyville, Ohio, or wherever it was supposed to be. And so I would run into a lot of the cast members just running, you know, around town. Like, I would be getting my bagels and there's Tom Cavanaugh or Julie Bowen. And yeah, I always thought that was pretty cool. And I thought that'd be like the biggest kind of celebrity stuff that I would ever kind of have until I started doing Eurovision. And, you know, I would be sitting in Baku having a baklava, and two tables over, there's freaking Engelbert Humperdinck. So yeah, life is strange. But after a couple of years, you don't really think about it really anymore. It's just, you realize that folks are just folks. They want their baklava and their coffee and just, you know, leave them alone. Now I really want some freaking baklava.
I was just going to say, I want some baklava and coffee now.
Yeah, me too. Danny, I know you've got one.
I don't. I mean, I don't want a baklava.
Oh.
Oh.
No, not baklava, a story.
Oh, yeah. When I was in Shanghai at age 18 on a school trip, I went into a basement of an antique store and ran into Tommy Hilfiger.
What?
He was just there. I was with a bunch of friends. He was like, "Do you want a picture?" And we were all like, "Yeah." So he took a picture with us. I'll give it to you, Eric. You should tweet it.
Yeah, that sounds good. I would love that.
Were any of you actually wearing any Tommy Hilfiger at the time? Like, did you go meta?
We were 18, of course not.
All right. So the reason we are gathered here today, other than just the pleasure of our company, because it's cold outside and lonely, and it's nice to have social contact in one way or another, but we are here today to discuss the first half of the lineup for this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest. It's going to be held this November, just in a couple of weeks, from a studio over in Warsaw, Poland. There are going to be 12 songs in this year's running, so decrease from last year for, you know, reasons that I think we all know. As of recording right now, we are still waiting for the name of the artist for Georgia, as well as their song. So what we are going to do is look at the second half of our roster of artists alphabetically, and then we'll kind of revert back to the first half in our next episode. So hopefully we'll have more information for you on that next step. But for today, we are going to be looking at the Netherlands, Poland, Russia, Serbia, Spain, and Ukraine. So we start out with the group Unity from the Netherlands singing the song Best Friends in Dutch and English. It's a four-part girl group made up of Naomi Tra, Demi Vandenbos, Maud Noordam, and Jada, just going by Jada. And interestingly enough, the national final that they held, they were only able to perform as a three-part group because one of the members of the group actually came down with COVID. So, she's doing all right now. She's feeling a lot better now.
Good.
So they will be performing as a four-part group in this year's contest. So let's take a quick listen to the song Best Friends by Unity for the Netherlands. You are my best. So that was Best Friends by Unity representing the Netherlands. Getting some really pretty little harmonies there. Nice little upbeat. It feels so junior. It really, really does. It's sweet. It's positive. It's light. You could tell that this is the country that spurned Ogene.
Noted junior Eurovision contestant.
Yes.
Ogene.
Yes, they were.
So, Ogene also had the milkshakes in their video. It's a Dutch thing.
Mm-hmm. That was my favorite Benetton ad I think I've ever seen. Do you think that girl in the pale green felt out of place because she didn't have braces?
Oh.
Well, she was clearly in her 30s, pretending to be a child.
Hi there, fellow kids.
That's Steve Buscemi. Why is he singing for
that
the
Netherlands?
That being
said, I really like this.
Me too. I think it's...
This isn't half bad.
Yeah.
I really like this, too. This is exactly what you want from a junior Eurovision song. It's just happy and fun. It's about these four best friends who get together and have fun. It's like this show. It's great. This is really, really fun. We're starting off on a really enjoyable note.
I was going to say, I hope this doesn't mislead me about the quality upcoming.
Yeah. Are we going to get like five turds after this? Like, what's the...
TBD, guys, TBD.
This is really nice. I want to listen to it again. Like that's a pretty high level of praise for a junior song, I feel like. I like it. Derek's been quiet. I bet he hates it.
It's just the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh.
No. I totally agree. It's bright, it's colorful, it's a lot of fun. The harmonies are really good. The only complaint I would have is their choreography was a little simple and it was a little stiff.
Mm-hmm.
When they were trying to do the dancing, it didn't quite work, but I get what they were going for.
I wonder how the fact that this has been a year where you can't really get together and rehearse as easily. I wonder if that has affected things. I believe they come from different parts of the Netherlands, so it's not like they're all, you know, they're all from Utrecht or anything like that. It's so they haven't necessarily had the opportunity to come together as often. I don't know if that's something that would affect them, but I guess we'll see what happens when they go to the big show. What can be polished?
There's potential. I just think it seemed like they hadn't rehearsed together much beyond the singing. And I don't think that would hurt them, but it was a little distracting.
Yeah, I could see that. But at the same time, I also appreciated the fact that they weren't hyper polished. That it the did harmonies feel a little were more organic. The vocals were solid.
I was going to say the harmonies are very polished. Those are fantastic.
But at the same time, you look at the act and you're like, okay, they're still 13, 14 year old students. So it doesn't feel like they're coming out of a pop music factory or anything like that. They've trained, but they're not, you know, from, you know,
the Disney machine.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I look at something like this. I remember the Netherlands song last year. It was one guy singing, and he had kids with him who were clearly trained dancers.
Yeah, better dancers than him.
Yeah, he was clearly the odd one out. But the fact that he surrounded himself with these great dancers kind of made up for it, I think, because it's just the four of them. It's a little bit more noticeable if they're rougher at it. I'm not a stage director, but I would almost say, you know, cut back on the dancing a bit and just focus more on the music, because clearly that's where they're the strongest.
I think that's fair.
I hadn't realized until just now that I only want to dance with you. He's just singing about his own place within the performance last year. Anyway, Netherlands is good. I think they're
they're number one right
point,
now.
Yeah, my 1.1 years of following Junior Eurovision. They're my favorite country for the next several minutes, at least.
At least three.
See. Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens after we listen to Alitras with I'll Be Standing, representing Poland. Or is she going to be able to do the triple for the host country?
Spoiler alert, no.
The hell was that? Sam?
That was Poland. Alitrash with I'll Be Standing. Interesting point. She is singing a song that was...
Sam?
Yeah?
I have to ask, how young is she?
She is 10.
Wow.
She is 10 years old, which is interesting considering I think last year their singer was 12 and the year before she was 13. So this is a bit younger than the last two.
2030, this is going to be crazy.
It's a prank of women on stage. Poland's with an ultrasound.
Poland's going to send a fetus.
That's awkward considering what's going on there politically. Anyway, this song was written by Grammy, who you might remember
from
Snake Dance and with Light Me Up. That was written with him and his wife Sarah wrote that.
What?
For
I'll just jump in and say I thought her singing was quite good. I was really impressed. I think the backing track is a bit incongruous with what she's saying, though. It feels a lot like more like a club dance kind of backing beat. It doesn't quite fit the uplifting positivity song that she's actually singing, which it felt a little weird.
I mean, and to be clear, what is this song about?
It's about self-reliance and believing in yourself, basically.
Okay.
Which is not an uncommon theme for Junior Eurovision.
Yeah, that's not super far from the vibe I guess I was kind of getting from it. I think I agree with Derek that as much as the Dutch song that we heard before sounds so quintessentially like a Junior Eurovision song, this doesn't.
Mm.
It sounds like a big kids Eurovision song. It sounds like something on Top 40 radio or something like that. And I'm not sure if I feel like that's good or bad.
It's worked well for Poland in the past, considering their last two songs at Junior became bona fide hits on the Polish charts. Like, regardless of, it's not like the kids' charts or anything. Like, they actually became major hits played on Polish radio, like, regardless of age. And they went for that sort of pop vibe. But now they're playing that pop vibe with a voice that is obviously much younger. And I find it a little bit incongruous as well. I think her voice is good. I think the message is good, but there's just something that's not quite connecting as immediately for me and as naturally for me as the last two Polish entries did. And I feel like it's almost unfair for me to say that because a song should be sung on its own merits. But at the same time, when you're coming on a potential third year running, like there are going to be a lot of eyes on you when you're the hometown entry after two consecutive wins.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that too. I mean, could this be three in a row, do you think?
With the way the voting system is structured with Junior, you can't count Poland out. But
that's really unfortunate to think.
But at the same time, yeah. But I mean, I've heard these songs before. You guys haven't. I personally think there are better songs. I don't think this is a bad song by any stretch. But I think there are personally better.
I think the melody just doesn't match her voice. And I think they could have changed it to make it a little bit more harmonious. I think the other Eurovision, the other Polish junior entries worked a little bit better because they had a slightly more mature sounding voice, even if they weren't adults.
Yeah.
They kind of work together. This one, I just want to bring in like a 20-year-old singer and have her sing with it instead. And just say, this is an adult Eurovision song.
Yeah, there's so, it's so fully AAA produced. It's so weird to hear a 10-year-old singing it. Like, I don't remember any songs from last year or other junior Eurovision songs that made me think she's too young.
Hmm. Mm.
But that was kind of the vibe I got just from the completed package of this. And like, we're being critical because of that incongruity. It's pretty darn good, you guys. Like, I think it's pretty good. Granted, I've heard two songs now, but I could see this winning. If she's an absolute dynamite live vocalist, which we don't know.
Well, she did win her ticket to, well, home, I guess.
finally, you can go home.
Through a national final. So she did actually go through a national final. So we know that she can sing live.
Well, I mean, the singing is very good. I think she's a really good singer. I think the backing track is also very good. I think it's better than his Grammy's Eurovision entry, honestly. But together, I don't think they work, which is weird. But.
Yeah. Danny, what do you think?
I have worries that her youth doesn't exactly benefit her in terms of showmanship. Like, her ability to sell the song.
I could see that.
Hmm.
She just seems...
You think she's just going through the lyrics and not this necessarily...
This might sound mean, but I just wonder if she's just too young to sing this type of song.
I don't know. We may have to see what happens in the live version, or pre-recorded, I guess, technically, version this year, but...
Is that official? They don't actually have to sing live?
It will be pre-recorded.
Oh, well, okay, fine.
All right, so we will move on from Poland over to Russia with Sofia Feskova and My New Day. She is 11 years old. I know, so much older. So let's see what My New Day brings for Russia.
So, I know this is Junior Eurovision, so I'm not trying to be too harsh.
Oh dear, here it comes.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, like, early 90s Disney movies?
That is exactly where my head was, too.
Over the end credits, they would play, like, the gross electric piano synth version of the song from the movie.
Yeah.
That's this.
Yeah, you're expecting Peebo Bryson to hop in on the chorus. And
it's a no from me.
My brain was also going for that very, very Disney princess style reference. And I'm getting that both musically and stylistically. Again, it's not a problem with Sofia. Her voice is really very pretty. She's got a lovely tone. And I think she emotes.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
Very, very well. But it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, Russia in the past has sent songs to Junior that have been super energetic and really very, very immediate and engaging. And I've listened to the song maybe 3 or 4 times, and I find it pleasant every time. And then I forget about it, which is a shame. It's a pretty ballad, and I'm not much of a sucker for pretty ballads.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Eric, Derek, where are your heads at?
Sam, you took the words right out of my mouth. Like, I remember thinking, like, yeah, this is well done. What's next? Like, it's there. It's functional. You know, it's
the perfect song for leaving a movie theater too.
Yeah. Or like listening to this and just sort of feeling like, okay, yeah, that's really well done, but whatever, is how I imagine a lot of Europe feels about Sweden these days.
Yeah.
No, for real. Like that's kind of the thing, right? Like, okay, yeah, you're surgically precise pop music, whatever. I got it. Thank you.
Next.
Yeah.
Derek, what about you, bud?
I think I like this slightly more than everyone else. I was really impressed with her singing and her performance. I think she's been very well trained on stage. I mean, it's not very remarkable at all, but I'm very impressed with her, and I'd like to see her do something more interesting.
Yeah, I think she's got a ton of potential.
Hmm.
Yeah. Is that basically where we leave it? Should we roll on to Serbia, or is there anything else to say?
Ooh, Serbia. No, let's do Serbia. Serbia. Serbia.
Right, all right, I hear you. All right, so for the very first time in Serbia...
As Austria-Hungary said in 1916, Serbia sounds nice.
That reference. So for the first time in Serbia's history at Junior Eurovision, they are sending a male singer, which is
about time.
Finally.
Jeez.
What?
An opportunity for boys.
Honestly, at Junior, let's be kind of honest here. Yeah. It's always a bit of a risk to send a young male singer to a competition when you're, there have been multiple times throughout the years where
in 4 months, his voice is just going to change.
Exactly.
So he's a baritone now.
It can be a risk. But let's see what Peter Anisic sends for Serbia. He's got the song Heartbeat. Da zadržim dah. Jasno da smo ti ja. Jedan deo istog svemira. Mi smo kao zvezde našeg tihog muzikla. So that was Serbia's Petar Anisic with Heartbeat. Who wants to take it first?
I'll go. How old is he?
I believe he's 14.
Gotcha. That's kind of what I figured. It strikes me as on the mature end of where these songs tend to like end up. I think it's really well done and that it's probably going to have a hard time standing out. And I'm not sure why. It just kind of, maybe it is a bit
it's
like
boring.
All right, fine. It's a bit boring, but it's a well-done boring, I guess. That's Danny's and my review, apparently.
Yeah.
No, I also thought it was boring.
Yeah, it's a bit, it just kind of sits there. Doesn't really change gears at all. It's fine. It's a decent, modern, male, first love kind of heartbreak little, so it's fine.
It's just, the word decent so perfectly encapsulates it. Like every single element is decent. I'm not going to say it's bad, but there's absolutely no reason to vote for it.
This ain't winning.
Yeah, it's well done. We talk about the call to action sometimes. There is no call to action here. It's just a nice song.
Agreed. It makes me really want to visit Serbia, though. Like, it made Belgrade look very pretty in the video. I will give them that.
It wants me to row crew.
It's a cameo by the Winklevoss twins.
That's good. Yeah.
All right, so... Or is that kind of where we're standing when it comes to Serbia? Just sort of, it's
decent,
there,
boring,
it's
fine. Yes.
Shall we roll on to something?
I wouldn't be surprised if that winds up at the bottom of my list at the end of this. It's just boring. I mean, we'll see.
We'll see.
It's a shame.
We still have to get to France.
Yeah. It's a shame like this, a song that's decent, would it basically get the same number of points as a song that's objectively bad, just because there's nothing remarkable about it.
No, but, it'd be worse.
That's the show. Yeah.
Shall we roll on? Shall we roll on to Spain then?
Spain.
All right. So remember last year, Spain was one of the favorites with a sort of semi-operatic song called Marte. This year, they are still being very, very Spanish and sending more of a Mediterranean pop vibe with Soleá with the song Palante, or Onwards. All right, so that was Soleá with Palante. Like I said, total 180 from last year's opera entry.
Which is good. Thanks for not doing the same thing again.
Absolutely. Good on Spain for, you know, swapping it up.
I would have been fine with them sending that girl again. But no, I mean, this is fine as well.
Where do we start? I don't want to say I'm being too, how do I put this, puritanical at all, but there's a lot of midriff going on for a 9-year-old. I'm just going to put that out there. Good for her on having the body confidence, but you are 9 years old, girl. You are 9.
Maybe have a shirt on underneath and just tuck it in. It's fine.
Something like that. Anyway, we'll
it's
see what
Spain.
You want.
I expect this from Italy, but not Spain. I'm just going to jump in and say I quite like this one. It has a lot of attitude. Which
me too,
I think is sorely missing in a lot of these songs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's got so much sass. I love it.
It was fun, and it felt very... I don't know if this is appropriate, but it felt very L.A. I don't know why, but it feels very American.
Eric, I think you're confusing the L.A. sound for just having personality.
Which she really does. Like, you could tell that she was raised in a musical family. She actually comes from a line of musicians in the flamenco tradition, which is even though she's taking more of a pop angle, of course, you could tell that there's still a lot of that emotion and that she was kind of, she seemed very natural in that sort of expression through music.
For sure. It's a shame that her voice is so young still, though.
I like her movement, too. It had a flamenco kind of style, which I thought was really cool, now that you mention it.
Definitely.
Yeah. It feels very, very Spain. And I love it when, even beyond the language, of course, we can understand that she's singing in Spanish. But even if we couldn't recognize what language, this has an immediate sense of place and a sense of identity. And I really, really appreciate that in a song at junior Eurovision or senior. It's just fun. It's just really freaking fun. Uh-huh.
It's a lot of fun. This is one of my best songs I've heard about Polenta. it's really fun. It's another one that definitely feels a bit weird coming from a kid. It definitely feels like they're taking some cues from regular Eurovision. But hey, I guess Junior has Fuegos now, so fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the message of the song.
The flute bit actually reminded me of Solove. Mm.
That would be a mix I would kill to hear. A Palante Solove mix?
I know.
Wow. This is probably one of the most upbeat songs in this year's competition, and I'm so happy it's there. It's been a very serious and sort of downbeat year, and this just gives such an infusion of spark and energy and fire. It's so great to see. And you're right that this is that little bit of mini fuego, but the message of it is still very... It's universal. It can be applied to both kids, and it also could have been applied to a grown-up message. It's sort of that just keep moving forward, just, you know, siga pa'lante. It's you know, keep moving ahead, even though it's difficult, which is a great message for kids, but certainly something that we grown-ups need to listen to every now and again as well. If you fall off the horse, just get back on again. I would not be shocked to see this in the top three over at the end of the day.
Yeah, this is going to do well. This is definitely going to do well.
And again, it just really makes me want to visit Spain. Like, looking at this video, I'm like, I've been to Granada. I recognize a lot of the places there. And I'm like, I love it. And I want to go back.
It's really the best looking video we've seen so far.
When you're filming in Andalusia, it's hard for it not to look good. Let's be honest here.
I was going
to
say the Netherlands. I'm like, this is just an apartment building.
So we have got one more song. Are we ready to move on to the Ukrainian entry for this year? Do we have any other...
Is it Goa? Is it is just kids who sound like Goa?
Yeah.
It's Go lowercase a.
Yeah. Oh, God. That would be so weird. I'm prepared to be disappointed.
Well, instead we get Oleksandr Balabanov with Vidkrivai, representing Ukraine.
So is this like
a Jacob's Ladder scenario?
Is this like I was going to say a St. Elsewhere scenario.
I was going to try to figure out who shot JR.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I love this song so much?
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
This has all of the bits and pieces that I wanted to see in the Serbian song. It grows and it builds beautifully. The layers in his voice and the texture in that voice. I mean, again, he's one of the older contestants in this year's competition. He's 14. For him to be able to sustain that falsetto and then in the chorus go into that sort of, I'm like, dude, you're a star. Yes.
This song is effortlessly cool. It just works so well. And it has everything he does with his voice. It's just, it's really interesting and it grabs you. I want to see what else he can do. I want to know what other songs he's done.
And also, should be noted, this is, I'm looking at the details on the song on the juniorEurovision.tv website. He was listed as co-writer and co-composer on this as well.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
This we'll kid's got it.
Oleksandr, massive, massive kudos. I think it's fresh, it's modern, it's engaging. There's something really special here, and
it's produced in a way that is much more listenable and agreeable to my ear. Like, his talent and his personality isn't swallowed by the production.
Yeah, they complement each other really well. They just kind of fit in well together.
The whole song just flatters his talents. It's a great fit for him.
Absolutely.
I feel like every song we've listened to has kind of built up to this one. There's just been elements that have worked in other songs, but in this one, every single thing is working.
I'm so happy this is last alphabetically with this. And I'm so happy that worked out
for the one. I thought you did this on purpose. Yeah. I thought you were like, we'll put the good one last.
I was kind of leaning, I was trying to push us a little bit towards having Spain and Ukraine at the end. And luckily, that's how it worked out alphabetically. And the fact that Eric has been very quiet gives me pause.
Ooh, Eric hates it.
No, I don't hate it.
Okay.
I'm trying not to be swayed by the things that you guys have said.
I'm sorry.
To this point. My initial reaction to hearing this was, I don't know what to think of this. Not in a bad way. At all. The backing track, the instrumental, is incredible. Like, it is full on. It reminded me a bit, if we're going to come full circle here, of Mad About You by Hooverphonic. Like, just this poppier, trip-hop sort of sound. I could not believe that I was hearing this in a junior song contest. When he went into the non-falsetto register and had that little bit to it. I don't know if nobody was watching me, but in our Zoom chat, but I did like a double take. Like, whoa, is this the same kid? Like, what's going on here? Because that register in particular sounds amazing, just incredible. Having said that, I like that register enough that I kind of wish he'd just stuck with that register. It's up and down and up and down. I don't know how I feel about the changing vocals here and there. He's got a tremendous voice. Like, none of it is bad. I just kind of wish he would pick one and stick to it.
I'll just jump in and say, this is the one I'm most excited to see performed live.
Yeah.
I think, but this in Spain, obviously, I think these are my two favorites. It's going to be really hard for the back half of these songs, which I haven't heard yet, to do any better than this. I'm going to be very impressed if there's a better song in there.
I'm excited for this and Spain because they both combine very good vocals with what I assume will be very natural dance skills.
I don't even think he's going to need very much in the way of choreography with this kind of song, though. Like,
yes, but he'll move nicely. You know how, like, I mean, even when you're not dancing, you can have sort of a stiff performance. This kid looks like he just performs effortlessly.
That's fair. That's very, very fair.
Yeah, very good natural movement. Like, kind of going back to the Netherlands, they felt very stiff, and he just kind of projected the sound with his body. The way he moved was very smooth all the way through.
What's the backstory on this kid, Sam?
I don't know a ton about him. All I know is that he is, like I said, 14 years old. He has been studying pop since he was about 8. He was born in Donetsk, it looks like. So that's the part of Ukraine that's really been hit very, very hard by the conflict there over the last couple of years. I don't have a ton of information about him. Again, most of what I have is stuff that I've gleaned from the JuniorEurovision.tv website. But looking at the list of songs that he has on his personal playlist of what he's listening to now, it's a nice mix of everything from Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder to Michael Kiwanuka and a lot of songs by Jungle. So the kid is super talented. And again, if any of the songs at you at home, if any of these songs grab you and you want to know more, a lot of these kids have Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. A lot of these kids already have been playing the songs of their own and are already budding musicians beyond just what we've been seeing at Junior Eurovision. They might be young, but follow their careers. I know that I'm going to be looking more into Alexander and his work to see what else he's done. Yeah, just because they're 9 to 14 years old.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't stalk them online.
That's okay. Now I just feel wrong. I just feel wrong now.
I'm only joking. I'm really upset that I'm going to forget all about these kids in a year and be unable to follow their progress as musicians because I really want to know what they're going to sound like in 10 years.
Well, that's on you, man.
I know.
Well, you know, like I said in a previous episode, you know, last year's Junior Eurovision entrant might be a future senior Eurovision contestant. Like, we saw it with Stefania that we'll see her in Rotterdam next year. She isn't even singing for the same country she did at Junior Eurovision. The world is big. Anything can happen. So any last minute thoughts as we are kind of wrapping things up? I know
the second half of the junior songs have a high bar to get to, I think. These were wall-to-wall outstanding.
To reach.
I mean, on average, you know.
Well, in our next episode, we'll be looking at the songs from Belarus, France, Georgia, if we ever get the song. Come on, guys, send it over. Germany, Kazakhstan, and Malta.
Sweet.
But you at home listening, feel free to let us know what you think about the songs that we were listening to. How wrong are we in our hot takes? Feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Scope us out at Redbubble if you want to support the site in any way, shape, or form. You can tweet me directly at ESC Insider. Eric, what about you?
Yeah, you can also tweet me, not at ESC Insider.
I'll send him the message if you
if you must. Yeah, Eric is tweeting. Eric is tweeting.
And out of curiosity, what's your Twitter handle for the sports card thing that you're talking about before?
It's Weird Sport Cards. Weird Sport Cards. Check it out. Nice. I try to put one up every day, and they're really dumb. They're really, really dumb. I know there's not going to be a ton of like crossover necessarily, but check it out. They're very silly. Yeah. If you happen to enjoy 1990s sports and Eurovision, and some of you probably do, I have the account for you. Let me tell you.
Love it. Well, until then, shall we say goodnight? I know it's 8 o'clock here and it's snowing and I could really use a nice cup of tea and a fuzzy pair of slippers. Shall we say goodnight then?
Goodnight then.
Yeah.
Oh.
Goodnight then.
Well, until
goodnight then.
Until next time, I've been Samantha.
I've been Eric.
I've been Derek.
I've been Danny.
Erica.
Stop listening now.
Danny, you cannot do that right now.
Danny's been replaced by a dot matrix printer.
Not the worst change we've made.
Just can't talk.